Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin, and it looks like if you want to enjoy the last nice day of autumn, today is the day, with temperatures around 60 going into the 40s for the rest of the week. Well, speaking of this week, the Illinois General Assembly returns to Springfield. That should bring a chill to some people, perhaps. But they've got a whole lot of issues ahead of them. Obviously, the public pension issue, same-sex marriage, illegal gun sentencing, gambling, those kinds of things are on the agenda. And I'm very happy joining us today is the president of the Illinois Senate, State Senate President John Cullerton. The Senate president joined the General Assembly in 1979, first in the State House, then the State Senate, and he has been the presiding officer of the Senate since 2009. Mr. President, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Before we go into the heavy issues, I'd like to go back to a June news conference in which you appeared with House Speaker Michael Madigan on this whole issue of changes in public employee pensions, and specifically about the issue of the Constitution, and the state constitution has that clause that prohibits diminishment or impairment of public employee pensions. Here's from that news conference.
The Supreme Court. Seven people that meet across the street in the Blahnik building down in Springfield, they're the ones that are going to decide the constitutionality on either one of these ideas. It's not going to be people in the legislature.
Right, and I would concur with that. I'm not on the Supreme Court. That's why I've been willing to vote for bills which has the version that the Speaker passed. I've sponsored them, and I voted for every Senate bill.
On a related issue to that, I want to play this clip of U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. He was speaking about entitlement reform in Washington to Rob Martyr of our WGN, but also tried to draw analogy to Springfield.
I think I have a special obligation to make sure Social Security is around for a long time to come. And the people who think we ought to wait to do it, come visit Illinois. Come to our state capital and watch what happens when you wait to take care of a pension system. It reaches a point where it's almost impossible. Do it now, 20 years before Social Security is going to be insolvent.
Mr. President, is Senator Durbin's warning to Washington an accurate reflection of Springfield in your mind? And also, is he trying to say something here about we're just as dysfunctional in Springfield as they are in Washington?
Well, I hope... hope not, because we are very functional in Springfield. The problem is that we have a very, very complicated and a bipartisan complicated issue with regard to pensions. So there's four caucuses in Springfield. Each one of those is divided on the issue of pensions. It's a really tough, complicated issue because, you know, you're taking something away from somebody, and that's not an easy thing to do. As I said in the first clip, I voted for every pension reform bill that's come forward. I don't have a competing bill that the Speaker has. I actually sponsored that bill. And it's important to note, just to prove my point, the bill that the Speaker passed, just barely passed, over half of the Republicans voted no in the House. And in the Senate, over a third of the Senate Republicans voted no. So it's just not easy. We did pass a bill out of the Senate overwhelmingly, two-thirds vote, that the union supported and didn't get called in the House. So that's where we are. We went back to work on what's called a conference committee to see if we could come up with a compromise. And just to put this in perspective, and I'll show you how difficult this is, the bill that we passed out of the Senate saved about $57 billion over the next 30 years. The bill that the House passed that failed in the Senate saved $163 billion over the next 30 years. So it's 57 to 163. So the conference committee has come up with a proposal. They haven't all agreed to it yet, but they asked me if I'd support it, and I said yes. That saves $138 billion. That's 85% of the bill that passed the House. So I think in the terms of meeting people halfway, that qualifies. So the problem is that now you have another election next
right.
March, and there's four Republicans on the, you know, in the Senate or on the three on the conference committee, and Senator Dillard's running for governor. Senator Brady's on the conference committee running for governor. There's a congresswoman, a would-be congresswoman in the House, and a lieutenant governor. So they're getting caught up in their own, you know, trying to out-Republican each other for a Republican primary, and that makes it difficult as well. So, and let me also just say that people really misunderstand the nature of this whole problem. I mean, it's quite frankly, I don't think you can use the word crisis to describe it at the state level. At the city level, you can definitely use the word crisis. The city has a huge pension problem, which is almost being overshadowed. The state, back in 2005, we passed a law saying over 50 years we're going to get to be 90% funded. And we've, for the most part, stayed on that track. And it involved putting more money into the pension system, an increasing amount, kind of ramping it up. And quite frankly, we're at the top of that ramp now. So next year, for example, we're only going to have a real small increase, less about 2% increase in what we have to put into the pension system. And the issue has been, well, we just don't want to. It's not that the pension system's bankrupt. It's not that we owe $100 billion to somebody right now. It's just that we didn't want to. Folks don't want to put as much money into pensions. They'd rather spend it on something else, or they'd rather have their taxes lowered. And these pension bills that we're going to vote on and hopefully pass, and I'm supportive of it, the overall effect is going to allow us to lower our income tax by about 0.25%. So if we pass the bill, it'll be easier to lower our income tax by 0.25%. If we don't, it'll be more difficult. And that's really what it's about. Now, I wouldn't call that a crisis. I think that people should put that in perspective. The city and the Chicago schools, much different issue.
Well, I mean, you have said that this whole issue of the scheduled lowering of the income tax, the personal income tax increase, I think from 5% currently, and it would take it to 3%.
It's 5% for individuals going to 3.75%.
Right.
And the corporate is 7%. It goes to 5.25%. That, on an annual basis, is a drop in revenues of about $5.38 billion.
Okay? So you're just ballparking.
Exactly.
5.38.
And these pension bills that we've talked about will save annually anywhere from $750 million to $1.5 billion. So you're still going to have real huge cuts that we have to make if we don't raise that income tax higher than what they're scheduled to go down to. But the pension reform, then, is about tax reduction, not about the solvency of the pension fund or about diverting money to spend more money on education. So just put that in perspective. The problem with the city is that the only way they can raise money is through property taxes. And they've been paying so little money into these pension systems over years, not breaking the law, but just following the law. The law was wrong. And as a result, there's this huge increase that they're going to have to make.
And I want to talk to you about that when we come back. You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. We've got in our studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio, Senate President John Cullerton is joining us, and the Illinois General Assembly returning to Springfield next week. We were talking about the issue of pensions, and basically you said we're at the top of the ramp. If revenues stayed the same, if the tax rate continued the same rather than it's scheduled coming down, we're not going to be any worse off as far as what we have to pay as a percentage of
spending.
Right,
but there's a great strong feeling out there in the general public. You know, there's 720,000 folks that are affected by these pensions. Both retirees are active. That's all of the teachers outside Chicago.
Right.
That's all the university employees and community college employees and all the state employees and the judges and the General Assembly. But there's, you know, almost 13 million people here, and a lot of folks don't have a defined benefit plan as we do. And by the way, the inflation rate now is 1.5%. These pensions are 3%. So there's a strong argument to lower these benefits. That's why I've supported this legislation. But just keep in mind, it's not going bankrupt. The money that we save by lowering those benefits is going to be used to lower the tax rates.
So when the governor has made the point that we're just seeing this increasing squeeze on services.
Well, here, this would
how does that stack into the whole
people.
Picture?
This would surprise people, I guess. We have a balanced budget in Illinois. Nobody would know that, right? We are not spending more money in the next during this budget than we have taking in. We passed a budget that says this: you can only spend this much money, and this is the amount of money that we have to take.
But you still have billions of unpaid bills out there.
Okay, and let's talk about that. We've been in that budget we include money to pay down old bills, including pension obligation bonds that we borrowed, and thank God we did for the 2 years that we were in the recession, because we borrowed money, put it into the pension fund. We've earned $800 million more than what the interest rate has been. But we're also paying down bills to vendors. We've paid down $3.5 billion in the last 3 years. And by the time we get to the end of this fiscal year, we'll have about $2.5 billion in bills over 60 days out of a $71 billion budget. So we've made tremendous progress in that. So, and remember, just like anybody's home budget, they have to pay a mortgage, they have to pay student loans. They don't pay them all off in the first year, but they keep on including their budget enough to pay what they owe. That's what we've been doing. We've been creating jobs, about the same, better than Wisconsin and Missouri, a little bit less than Indiana. But the jobs we are creating have been pay much more than those states. Businesses are not fleeing Illinois because our taxes are so high. The fact is that our tax rates is, well, our state tax rate is lower than all the other states that surround us and almost about the same as Indiana. So there's been kind of a negative stories about this. And then the pension crisis is the word people usually use, as I think I've described it. It's something we have to deal with, but it's not something that we're on the verge of bankruptcy in.
So when people use that term of pension crisis or the economic crisis confronting Illinois,
well, it makes it easier to
is
try
it
to
just
get
rhetoric?
Some, well, you're
is
trying
just...
to get some votes in a bill to take something away from people. These are active school teachers who are a very valuable part of our society, and we in Illinois are very supportive, at least the Democrats, of unions. We're not like some of the states that surround us that don't think they should exist. But at the same time, we have to ask them to sacrifice. That's what I did, by the way, when I passed the bill out of the Senate that I sponsored, that the unions did support. They were willing to make the
sacrifices. Well, and that's a very valid point. But and as you note, there are the political concerns because labor unions, public employees unions, have traditionally been Democratic allies.
Well, so, wait a minute. All those Republicans that voted no on the pension reform bill, a majority in the House, they're very heavily influenced by the AFSCME union, which represents the prison guards down in southern Illinois. They're very heavily influenced by the teachers unions that represent teachers down in southern Illinois. And many of those Republicans voted no because of the opposition.
Sure, and especially downstate because exactly. The state institutions tend to be
exactly.
The only economic driver.
It's the biggest part of the economy down there.
Right. Right. I mean, so when you have the fact of the power or the fact of allies of, in labor, what is the incentive for downstate Republicans, Democrats to do anything
and
on
that's
this?
Why we have to compromise. That's why I'm trying to push a bill that we can pass next week or 2 weeks after that.
I mean, that's why you try to get a bill that had an
exactly.
agreement from the unions.
Exactly. And so I think 85% of a bill that failed pretty dramatically is a pretty fair compromise that we were offering. And
so do you see this coming up at all, or is this just going to be another one of the political calendar kind of?
Well, I don't know.
Knocks it down.
You know, the reason why I can't say is because it's not totally within my control.
Understood.
Or our caucus. So I would say this: Senator Rodogno has always been my Republican counterpart, very interested in pension reform. We've passed out of the Senate a bipartisan bill in the past. If she can get those same 12 people that voted for the bill that saved $163 billion. If she can get those same folks to vote for a bill that saves $138, I think that we can get 18 votes and we can pass the bill over to the House. That's what my goal would be.
Very quickly, I want to touch, and you touched on this, the fact about the city facing a very serious pension issue. And, of course, they're supposed to have a big bump in payments for police and fire that's coming up. I believe you have a legislation that was at least introduced at some point at the end of the spring session in May.
Yeah, for the police and fire, I put a bill in just not to kick the can down the road, but to encourage them to negotiate. They have to negotiate the unions with the city to try to get a resolution. The police and fire do not have they have less generous pension benefits. So when you cut their benefits, you don't save as much money as municipal and labor's pension. So the city has a real problem because the only way they can raise money to pay for these is, quite frankly, through property taxes. That would be huge property taxes. So there has to be probably a combination, unfortunately, of both that the firemen and the police officers have to understand that. And the same thing is true of the Chicago teachers, where there's another big bump that has to be paid next June with them. We'd like to apply some of the same reforms or reductions in benefits, if you will, that we have for suburban teachers to Chicago, and then that can solve the problem with Chicago's pensions for the teachers.
This is the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and I want to say a thank you to Senate President John Cullerton for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, Dean is getting ready for his show at 9 o'clock. And, Dean, I got the Senate president. I mean, that's not a bad get, right?
No, that's a good get. Can he hear me? Can he hear me?
Yes, he can.
I wonder, do you get to see any movies? I always like to find out, you know, people and other, we know them from one thing, politics in this case. Does he ever get to, you know, go out and see movies? Does he have any reviews of anything?
I'm usually reading up articles about pensions, so I really haven't had a
chance.
He's
really
to watch
not movies. An exciting guy. I mean, you know.
But I'm really happy about the movies and TV shows that are being shot here in Chicago. We're doing a phenomenal job. We've got a movie theater on the southwest side.
Yeah, busy year this year, hasn't it been?
Yeah.
Well, but he is a big fanatic of TV, because if you've ever spent time in Springfield, you know it's very similar to being lost in space, okay?
Or gravity. That would be...
Gravity, yes.
Yeah, that would be pointlessly...
There is no gravity in Springfield.
Pointlessly floating around.
Yes, exactly.
These great restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, right.
I'm glad you pointed to the Gravity movie, Rick, and not 12 Years a Slave.